Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping well and had a great weekend. Okay, so we have a fun-packed show ahead of you. But before we go into the contents of the show, just a quick bit of housekeeping. The purpose of the show is to educate, to inform and to enlighten you about matters regarding health and well-being. Each week I'll have a different guest on to discuss their background, their story and their business. But obviously anything we discuss on air is not to be taken as any recommendations or any advice. So if you listen to anything on air and you decide that perhaps you want to follow some of the things that we talk about, then I would advise that you talk to your doctor or your health practitioner first, just to make sure. But otherwise, you'll find lots of useful information as we go through the hour. And if you'd like to tweet while we're on there, if you'd like to say hello, to give me a shout out, or to perhaps ask a question, the Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. You can go to Facebook and you can search Health Radio Show on Facebook and you will find the show's Facebook feed. But probably the best way to say hello is through Twitter. I have my Twitter feed in front of me, so I'll be looking out for your tweets as we go through. So today we have a special guest, Kizzy Nicholson. Hi, Kizzy.
Hi, Neil.
Kizzy is quite an interesting case, actually, because Kizzy lost quite a huge amount of weight over a reasonable amount of time. So what we're going to do later, around 11:30, we're going to interview Kizzy, and we're going to discuss her story, her background, and obviously what she did to lose, was it 5 stone?
Yeah, it was 5 stone.
So, yeah, quite something. So it'd be quite a story. So for all of you out there that perhaps are struggling a bit with your weight, you will be able to listen to Kizzy's story, and maybe it'll give you some inspiration, and it'll give you perhaps some tips on how perhaps you can take control of your weight and perhaps look forward to a healthier, happier 2018. So today we're going to talk about the persimmon fruit, and some of you will not know what the persimmon is. The persimmon is normally known as the Sharon fruit, so we're going to discuss that in a second. We're also going to discuss hidden sugars. There is a big issue in this country with obesity, as we all know, and there's a lot of hidden sugars in the food that we eat. It's quite scary. So we're going to go through how to identify hidden sugars and ways that you can avoid consuming more sugar than you need to. Then, as I mentioned, around 11:30, we're going to interview Kizzy, and then we're going to discuss the million calorie challenge. Now, for those of you that follow me on social media, you may well know about the million calorie challenge. It's quite an eye opener for those of you that put sugar in your teas and coffees. But we're going to discuss that around 10 to 12. And then by 12 o'clock, we are going to wrap the show up. So don't forget, tweet in at Health Radio Show. Say hi, ask for a shout out or ask a question. If I can't answer the question on air today, I will take it away with me and answer it for you next week. So the persimmon, have you heard of the persimmon, Kizzy?
No, I've never heard of the persimmon. What is it, Neil? Tell me about it.
The persimmon comes from Japan, and it is actually Japan's national fruit. And it came to the UK in the 1800s, but it was only grown in Japan for a long time, and now it's grown all over the world. The biggest problem is that it's only in season for a certain number of months per year. So during the out of season, they get really expensive. I mean, we're talking a pound each. And they're about the size of an apple. They're bright orange, about the size of an apple. If you go to my Twitter page, or if you actually go to the radio show Twitter page, there is a picture of a persimmon on there. Now, the persimmon, when it comes into season, drops in price. So I was in a supermarket yesterday, and hence the reason we're discussing it today. I saw them, and you can get 3 for 79p. Okay, and this supermarket starts with a T, I won't mention it, and there are other supermarkets available, but the persimmon is absolutely delicious. If you've never tried one, I highly recommend it, and they are amongst the most nutritious fruit that you can eat. So it's full of things like antioxidants, it's full of vitamin A, it's full of vitamin C, it's a really good source of fibre, providing you eat it with the skin, like most fruits. Most of the fiber is in the peel, not actually in the fruit itself. So I know some people that do actually peel the persimmon, but I wouldn't recommend peeling it. So try and eat it with the peel. So it's a good source of fiber. It's a good source of vitamin B as well. So it's a really powerful fruit in terms of nutrients. So, yeah. So things like antioxidants, phytonutrients, it's got lots of flavonoids in it. It's got lots of anti-inflammatory properties. But like any fruit, obviously it contains fruit sugars. Now, fruit sugar, so fructose, is actually, as a sugar, is okay when it's packaged with fruit. But the big issue comes is when we extract fructose and we put it into foods on its own, then it becomes quite damaging to the body. But if you actually consume fruit sugars with the fruit, then the nutrients and the carbohydrates and, you know, the proteins in the fruit actually slow down the absorption of those sugars. So, you know, but we'll come on to sugars a bit later in the show. So, yeah, really good to say. If you want to look at a picture, go to the radio show Twitter feed, and you'll see a picture of a persimmon, and they're quite an unusual fruit. So they're really easy to eat. All you do is you wash them, you cut the top off, and then with the fruit that you're left, you just cut it into segments and eat it. So it's a bit like, the taste is a bit like a combination of orange and apricot and peach. So if you don't like orange or apricot or peach, you may not like the persimmon, but actually it's a really unique taste, and they're very sweet as well. So yeah, worth giving them a try. They've done some interesting research on persimmons, actually. So the persimmon is one of the few foods that are associated with killing breast cancer cells because of the antioxidants in them, without harming normal breast cells. So I thought that was quite an interesting piece of research. And there are other fruits that, like the pomegranate, that also can also do the same thing. There's fruits that are just generally good for you, and there's fruits that I would call superfruits. And definitely the persimmon and indeed the pomegranate are certainly up there. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
There you go. So are you gonna try the persimmon a bit later?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to try it. And I tell you what, Neil, it's really handy that you've got a picture up on your Instagram, because I know what I'll be looking for. Because I'm sure if I went into a shop with tea, people might raise an eyebrow if I said I'm looking for a persimmon.
Persimmon. I mean, sometimes they are also known as the Sharon fruit.
Okay.
But I like to use the proper name. And there's two types of persimmon. One is really good for cooking. And it's got quite a sharp taste, but the ones that you'll buy in the supermarket are the sweet ones. And the only thing is with persimmons, they tend to go off quite quickly. So if you buy a pack of three, then you need to eat them reasonably quickly. If they start going soft, then they're going off. So they normally go off within a day or two. So, but you eat them when they're firm. So there you go. So again, if you follow my Twitter feed, either at the radio show or you follow my iNutrition Twitter feed, which is iNutrition UK, you'll see pictures on there, and you'll get some information about the persimmon, and perhaps give it a go and contribute to the Twitter feed. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of the taste. And like I say, if you're going to pick up a pear or a banana or a peach or an orange, actually the persimmon pound for pound is much better for you. And interestingly, persimmon comes from the Latin word for food of the gods. So there you go. I'm full of useless information like that. So, we are going to go into our first song of the day, and it's a classic by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it's By the Way.
Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on, heavy glow. Waiting for Danny the girl is singing songs to me beneath the marquee overlord. Stick knife,
prospect. Hot up.
Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on, heavy glow. By the way, I tried to say I'd be there, waiting for Danny the girl is singing songs to me beneath the marquee. Oversold. By the way, I tried to say I'd be there, waiting for. Waiting for.
That was the Red Hot Chili Peppers with By the Way. Okay, good morning. You are listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. Tweet me at Health Radio Show. Say hello, ask for a shout out, or indeed ask a question. If I can't answer it on air, I will take it away with me and I will answer it on next week's show. So, had a couple of shout-outs this morning. A couple of guys have tweeted in to say hello. My good friend Stuart Weller. Stuart, one of the best magicians that I know. Stuart, you're very talented, my friend, indeed. Stuart just tweeted in to say, best of luck for today's show. Thank you, Stuart. Much appreciated. And Stuart's Twitter handle, Twitter feed, is at Stu Entertains. So if you're on Twitter, look up at Stu Entertains. And follow Stuart. I've also got a shout out for the Wellbeing Symposium. It says, good morning, we'd love a shout out. We're working hard behind the scenes to plan the Wellbeing Symposium for 2018, which is taking place on the 21st of February at the Ashford International Hotel. This year, it's our aim to make health and well-being everyone's business, and I couldn't agree more. So well done, guys. I will pop along and let me know how it all progresses. And if you've got any updates, then feel free to tweet in, and I'm more than happy to give you a shout out. Right, we're going to discuss for the next 10 minutes or so the subject of hidden sugars. Now, for those of you that know me, you'll know that I do network a fair bit. And I was at a business over breakfast networking group in Whitstable last week. And what I like to do is I like to educate people. Whether or not they become a client of mine is kind of beside the point. But I like to go into a room and I like to leave people with hints and tips that they can take away, and you know, some small ideas from time to time that they can take away, apply in their own lives, and it will help improve the quality of their life. So I talk a lot about drinking more water. I talk a lot about eating your fruit and not drinking your fruit. And one of the things that we spoke about last week was the subject of hidden sugars. So there were people in the room that were putting sugars in their teas and their coffees. And that's a choice. It's not a choice that I necessarily agree with. I know the damage that sugar does to the body, and you know, we're all aware of the risks of things like diabetes. And actually, in a few weeks, we are going to discuss diabetes in a lot more detail because there are about 4 million type 2 diabetics in the UK, but only 3.5 million know that they're diabetic. So 500,000 people have got type 2 diabetes and won't know they've got it until it gets really serious, which is quite scary. But back to the subject of sugar. So People in the room were putting sugar in their tea and coffee, which is a choice of theirs. But there were a couple of bottles of well-known red and brown sauces on the table. So while other people were talking, I grabbed the bottle and I was looking at the ingredients, and I was quite shocked that in the brown sauce bottle, when you read through the ingredients, there were 5 different types of sugar hidden in that brown sauce. And it isn't always sugar. So sugar comes in lots of different forms and lots of different names. In its simplest form, sugar is sugar, and it's the white table sugar that we know and some of you love. But also it comes in some pretty insidious forms as well. So we're going to discuss hidden forms of sugar. I'm going to give you a list of names for sugars to look out for, and hopefully you can start to read your own food labels and make some informed choices about what you eat. So it's recommended that added sugars, so table sugar, honey, syrups, the sorts of sugars that we consciously add to our diet, shouldn't make up more than 5% of the energy that we get from food and drink every day. Now, for most adults, that actually equates to only 30 grams, which is quite scary when you consider that a can of Coke has got 40 grams. So it certainly makes you think. But it is estimated in the UK that we get, rather than 5% of our energy from these added sugars, some people are getting more like 20 to 25%. And it's these sugars that are causing the obesity crisis that we have in this country. And they're also causing some pretty awful health issues. Obviously, diabetes, type 2 diabetes is the big one. But things like metabolic syndrome as well is on the increase. And do your own research and Google metabolic syndrome, and it's quite an unpleasant condition. But this, for the most part, is all linked to sugar consumption. So whether it's white sugar or brown sugar or unrefined sugar or molasses or honey, sugar is sugar. There is no, and then this is the fact, there are no healthy forms of sugar. So these are some of the names that sugar comes under. So grab your whatever you've got in front of you, look at the ingredients, look at the food labels, and when you look at the food labels, they are in priority order. So whichever is the first has the most in, and obviously then goes through to the most minor ingredients. So sugar, glucose, white table sugar, also corn sugar, dextrose, fructose, which is fruit sugar, glucose, a really nasty one called high fructose glucose syrup or high fructose corn syrup. It's a really nasty form of sugar that's actually quite damaging to the body. Honey. So whilst honey is natural, it's still a sugar, and it will still react, your body will still react to honey as it would white table sugar. Maple syrup, agave syrup, isoglucose, maltose, molasses, sucrose, lactose, it goes on and on and on. Sugar is so prevalent in our diet, it's actually quite scary. The key, if you want to look out for hidden sugars, is look for the word O's. So O-S-E. So glucose, fructose, dextrose. Most sugars will end in the word O's. And when you start to look at your food labels, you can start to make some educated choices about what you eat. And this is the whole point of me doing the radio show, trying to educate people, is to make them accountable for what they eat and what they drink. So if they choose to have a glass of fruit juice, if they choose to have 3 sugars in their tea, if they choose to have a bowl of highly processed cereal for their breakfast, we live in a country of free choice. They can do that, but they can do it knowing what they're eating. And I think education is really missing in this country. We need to educate people and make them accountable. And then from education, you can make a free choice. So I'm going to go through a quick list of things to look out for. So you can look at your diet, you can look at what you're eating, what you're drinking, because these are some areas where actually hidden sugars are very prevalent. So as you would expect, sweets, so confectionery, chocolate, sweeties, those sorts of things. Preserves, so things like jams come with a lot of sugar. And obviously sugar itself. So table sugar, jams, chocolate, sweets. they reckon that those types of sugars represent about 27% of our daily added sugar intake, which is quite frightening. And even chocolate spreads, some certain well-known chocolate spreads, are just full of sugar. So again, read the food labels, look at the amount of sugar that's in the food and the types of sugar as well. So non-alcoholic drinks, and this is a big one. So when I go networking, I talk to people about drinking more water, but I also talk to them about eating their fruit and not drinking it. So if you drink fruit juice, generally speaking, sugar-wise, is the equivalent to some well-known fizzy drinks. So if you're drinking fruit juice, perhaps have a look at what you're drinking. Try to cut down the amount of fruit that you do drink and replace it with food that you do eat. So 500ml bottle of cola, for example, contains around 17 teaspoons of sugar, which is quite frightening when you consider that the maximum we're recommended to eat is around 6 or 7. It's also bad for tooth decay as well. So, you know, children, if you've got young children, you know, I would switch them from fruit juice and perhaps get them onto things like, you know, a good glass of water. Biscuits, buns and cakes. So we do like to graze on our processed foods. We do like to have the odd croissant, the odd panini or whatever. These are really, really high in sugars. And they're also, the double whammy is they tend to be made with refined grains, which are also not that good for you. So things like chocolate-coated biscuits, frosted cornflakes, iced cakes, all these things that are really nice to eat and nice and sweet to taste, but actually are not that good for you and are full of sugar. Alcoholic drinks. Now, people don't realise alcohol does contain quite a lot of sugar. And not just a lot of sugar, but also a lot of calories. The average average bottle of wine is 600 to 700 calories, which is the same as a big bar of chocolate. So that's quite interesting. So if you want to cut down on hidden sugars, and perhaps you do like the odd tipple, you do enjoy a glass or two of wine every day, then maybe just start to cut that down. Because if you drink a lot of alcohol, it will add to your sugar intake, and alcohol is a big contributor to obesity in this country. Dairy products. Now, dairy products are an interesting one because obviously dairy is generally good for people. There's a lot of nutrients, calcium and what have you in dairy products. But if you're going to have a yogurt, have a plain unsweetened yogurt. Don't go for the fruit varieties. Don't go for, you know, the sweetened varieties, because again, that's where all the hidden sugars are. So things like fruit yogurts and fruit fromage frais, and also things like milkshakes, flavoured milkshakes, just full of sugar. So sugar is everywhere, even in dairy products. And also savoury foods, so things like chutneys and crisps and, you know, ready meals, things like salad cream, ketchups, they have quite a lot of hidden sugar in them. So again, look at the labels and make an educated choice. So how can you avoid all these hidden sugars? Well, learn to read your food labels, learn to identify the sugar content of the food that you do consume. Learn the different types of sugar. It's not just sugar. There's a lot of other names that sugar comes hidden under, and most of them end in O's. Eat your fruit, never drink your fruit, and that's a real big one. That really is a mantra of mine. Keep an online food diary for a month. If you keep an online food diary, and there's lots available on Android and iOS, but I use the one called MyFitnessPal, and it's reasonably accurate, you would be absolutely horrified at the amount of sugar that you do consume, I'm sure. Most of the clients I do take on do 2 or 3 weeks of food diary before we meet, and it's quite frightening how many teaspoons of sugar people consume every day. Avoid processed foods. There's a lot of sugar hidden in processed foods. And also low-fat foods or 0% fat foods often have sugars added to them to give them taste and texture. When you take fat out of foods, there's an enzyme in fats that actually sticks to your tongue and gives you taste and gives you flavour. When the fat is taken away, the foods become quite bland. So they add sugar in to give it flavour. And also try and wean yourself away from sweetness. If you decide to go from sugar to sweeteners, okay, you know, that's a strategy. But I would then have a strategy to come off the sweeteners. as we covered sweeteners a few weeks ago, and actually, you know, in my opinion, sweeteners aren't good for you either. And there are some interesting research papers that suggest that sweeteners are a leading cause for type 2 diabetes as well. So there's some interesting information there. There's some interesting tips about sugar, about hidden sugars and how you can avoid them. If you want to drop me a line, you can contact me at my iNutrition website. My website is i-nutrition.co.uk. Drop me a line if you've got any comments. You can contact the iNutrition Twitter feed as well, which is iNutrition UK. If you have any comments about sugar or you just want some advice, more than happy to help you out and give you some advice and point you in the right direction.
Way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
So before we go on to our guest interview in a moment, where we have a chat to Kizzy and we learn more about her weight loss journey, we're going to have a quick song, and this is a great one to get you going for the morning. It's Imagine Dragons and On Top of the World.
Tried to cut these corners, tried to take the easy way out. I kept on falling short of something. I could have gave up then, but then again I couldn't have, cause I've traveled all this way for something. I take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world.
In collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses, join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping well. Okay, drop me a tweet. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. You can use the hashtag if you like, which is hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. You can also find the show page on Facebook if you search Health Radio Show. If you follow the page or the Twitter feed, I give away lots of information and lots of free tips and advice. And you can also follow me on Twitter, my iNutrition pages. So if you go to Facebook and you look up iNutrition UK, and also Twitter is at iNutrition UK, I do give away a lot of information, which I'm sure some of you will find very useful. And if you want to interact with me on Facebook or Twitter, then feel free to do so. So we are coming on to our guest slot now, a guest interview slot with Kizzy Nicholson. Hi, Kizzy.
Hi, Neil.
If you go to the if you are on Twitter and you go to the radio station Facebook Twitter page, there is a picture of Kizzy on the Twitter feed, which I was quite shocked to see. Now, I've been on Kizzy's Instagram page and I've seen some pictures of Kizzy's transformation, but there's a picture of Kizzy there in a pink dress, and the transformation is truly amazing. I'm quite astounded looking at you now. I can't imagine you being that size. So I'm hoping that some of the people that are listening to the show this morning, or perhaps listening on catch up, and that do struggle with their weight, will find some inspiration with your story, because I meet lots of people who are hugely overweight, and it's quite sad. And you try to help them as much as they try to help themselves, but not many people can go from being hugely overweight to actually a healthy weight without help. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have a chat to Kizzy, and we're going to just discuss her weight loss story. And she lost about 5 stone in 10 months.
Yes,
which
five
is
stone.
Which is quite significant. And we're going to discuss how she did that. So, Kizzy, very briefly, tell me about your background.
Yeah, so pretty standard, Neil. Just a average working girl commuting every day in the office, being 9 to 5. Went to university, went to college, had a very sedentary lifestyle. And yeah, I wasn't really into sports, wasn't really into fitness, but I had been up and down with my weight every year since being 18, and just found it was overwhelming.
It is quite scary, isn't it?
Mm.
It is quite scary. So so what were the main factors? What was it? Was it a bad diet? Was it what led up to you gaining all that weight?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think it was the everyday lifestyle, commuting to work. I would get the train, or I would get the tube or drive. Always have like the quick breakfast, cereal, porridge, get to work, have a coffee, have snacks.
So quite a sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah, and combined
with a bad diet.
Yeah, and before you know it, I think I looked in the mirror and I was like, goodness, Kizzy, you're not 16 anymore. You're 28, right? And I just hadn't changed the lifestyle and the way of eating, and the pounds had just, been put on over the years, and I hadn't noticed.
And that, I think that's the scary thing is, when people are younger, they often are of a healthy weight,
mm.
although we do have a growing obesity crisis in this country with children. But weight gain is quite insidious. You don't suddenly gain a stone in a week.
No.
The odd pound here, the odd pound there. For the guys, they notice that they perhaps go up a notch on their belt.
Yeah.
And this perhaps put it down to getting older and kind of ignore the problem. And for women, it's when they no longer fit into a size 12 and suddenly size 14 becomes more comfortable. And then over the years, 14 becomes a bit tight, and then it's 16. And yes, it does it does creep on very, very sort of slowly, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And before you know it, a few pounds becomes a few stone. So I talk to my clients about motivation. And actually, there needs to be a point of motivation. There needs to be a trigger point at which we need to make change. There is a very famous saying that it's not until the pain of being the same becomes greater than the pain of change do we change.
Yeah.
So the pain of change, there is pain in change. There is pain in losing weight. But most people would like to stay as they are because it's easier. But people get to a point where actually the pain of staying where they are is now greater than the pain of actually making the change. So what was the moment for you? What was that moment of motivation when you suddenly thought, you know what? I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be. What weight was you?
Well, actually, I was 17 stone 2 at my very biggest. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the photo of me on Twitter, you can see it at KizWiz, and that's with 2 Z's. I was actually a size 22, and I'm 5'8", so that kind of puts into perspective how big I was at my biggest. But that was it for me. So in terms of the actual trigger point, what motivated me, I'd be lying if I said that I've tried every conventional diet that's available on the market, whether it's individual or as part of a group. Mm-hmm. And every year I've tried the latest fad diet, whatever comes out in the January, New Year, got to do this.
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, to be honest, I got to a point and I was just about to turn 30, so I had a year until I turned 30. And I was with my partner at the time, and we spoke about marriage and having a longer term relationship, and it just turned out that it wasn't going to go that way. And I remember looking in the mirror thinking, I am so, so unhappy. You know, I didn't want to do another fad diet that I'd done, because I'd been done enough for 10 years. I've just obviously realised that I was in this long-term relationship that wasn't going anywhere. I was about to turn 13, I didn't want to look like this, so it all just kind of crumbled.
It's quite scary, isn't it? And actually, you know, sometimes, you know, we have those moments in life that, you know, we go through perhaps, and they're not particularly pleasant, but they do, in hindsight, turn out to be turning points. And
absolutely,
whilst they might not be pleasant to go through at that particular moment, actually, they can spur us on for that motivation of change, whatever that change might be. And often, from bad situations, you can take something good. And obviously for you, going through the difficult times as you did, was that motivation for you to make that change, to look at yourself, to think, right, okay, I want to lose some weight, I want to be healthier. And also, you know, I see it with clients. It's not always about what they weigh and how they feel at that time. It's their long-term future. You know, if you're obese, generally speaking, you will cut your life short, and you will be likely to get a lot of serious illnesses, like diabetes, as an example, as you get older. So it's not just about how you look, how you feel here and now. It's about your long-term health as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, lots of people, well, personally, for me, at my age, in my 20s, I didn't really care and it didn't really matter to me. But I think when I got on, I had one of those special body measure percentage things, they're called, Neil. Mm-hmm. Yep. And 47% of my total weight was excess fat. And that's not even the healthy fat that your body needs. I was like, 47%. And that really upset me. I was like, do you know what? Forget the size, forget how much the scales are saying. 47%, that was quite upsetting. And I was like, don't think I should really be like that at 29. That's not right.
So what's your body fat percentage now?
I have no idea.
Okay. Certainly a lot less than 47, I would think.
Yeah, I think it's healthy. I think it's maybe 23, 24. It could be less.
Wow, that's quite something.
Yeah, it has halved, but I think I've halved as well when you see the pictures on my Twitter.
It is quite scary to look at the pictures, the before and after. I mean, the after is amazing, but the before is quite frightening. But lots of people are like that, which is really sad.
It is, but the reason why I'm here with you today, Neil, and I documented my whole transformation on Instagram from day one. I never expected to get where I am today, and I never expected to have as many people contact me to say that they're inspired by me. But it's basically to show anyone that they can do it, and especially you can do it in today's lifestyle of having to sit in the car and commute, having to sit in the office, having to have all these meetings and all these conference calls. It's totally achievable.
Yeah, fantastic. So if you look at your lifestyle a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and look at your lifestyle now, mm-hmm. What are the significant changes that you've made in your day-to-day living that's not just allowed you to lose the weight, but obviously have kept it off as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, I made quite a few changes, but it was really easy to do. So I started walking to work instead, and that would take me up to an hour. You know, if I can get a good 2 hours walking in a day, I just put in my iPod and absolutely had the time to myself. That was a big change I made. Getting outdoors a little bit more, that was a change that I made. I basically made my mission to move every day, because I realised sometimes I would just sit down all day. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things, Neil, to be honest, was giving myself permission to love myself, because I really didn't. And I remember sitting there one day thinking, do you know what? If I loved this person, would I really stuff them full of pizza? Would I really stuff them full of Coca-Cola? Would I really stuff them full of all these different things that we love?
Yeah.
You know? okay, maybe not. So then I started to think, well, actually, what would I do if I loved me?
Wow.
And that really started to change my mindset. And that was a big part of my transformation was mindset and the language that I used about myself.
Mm-hmm. There is a huge amount of psychology in weight loss. And people just don't realize it. And lots of people have the intention of losing weight. If you're, generally speaking, if you're obese and you need to lose weight, most people that are obese know they need to lose weight. They know it's not good in the short term, it's not good in the medium term, and it's not certainly not good in the long term. And as we mentioned, there are illnesses that would affect people, and it will cut your life short. But they don't realise it isn't just the physical side of what to eat and what not to eat and how much movement you make. It is about the psychology. It starts in the mind. And if the psychological strength of the person is not strong enough to make that change, then making the change becomes really, really difficult. You know, when you're making new habits and you're breaking old habits, there's a huge amount of mindset that goes into that. And you're absolutely spot on. It starts in the mind. And if you get your head in the right place, and if you say yours was to love yourself and start to appreciate you and, you know, your life and your body, then that's a good starting point to actually make the physical changes. And people need to realise it needs to start in the head first before it starts in the body. It doesn't work the other way around. It really doesn't work the other way around. You've got to get your head in the right place first to then make that change.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Neil. I mean, before I actually started the physical side, I was told by an expert that I worked with to keep a food diary for 2 weeks, and I didn't want to do it.
It's a pain, isn't it?
I've done food diaries like you couldn't believe. I was like, you're joking, not another food diary. Yeah. But in actual fact, by doing a food diary, instead of actually then looking at what I was eating, I documented how I was feeling at different points of the day.
Yep.
And it was definitely a pattern. In the afternoon, I would be absolutely fed up and I'd be aggravated because of a meeting that went wrong that morning or a deadline that hadn't been missed or a project was going to be pushed back. And all these things, they were affecting me and they were affecting what I was picking up and then eating. You know, I was eating and burying my emotions. And that was why I was so, so big. And then we had a look at these. And as my weight loss happened, there were definitely situations where I had to address head on, because I knew if I didn't, then I'd be picking up those sweets later on.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, and yes, it was scary, but I was like, do I want to gain an extra stone? No. So I'm going to just take a deep breath and I'm going to address this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it's difficult, but I felt so good. I felt so good.
And looking at that transformation, absolutely. And it is quite liberating, I think, when, you know, if you are, for example, a bit of a chocoholic and you make the choice not to have a bar of chocolate, or you like, you know, a few glasses of wine every day and you make the choice not to have wine, it's very, very liberating. It's very empowering. And I think that's what people need to appreciate, is when you make these choices, you know, you have that emotion of being in control, and you kind of touched on it, that vicious cycle of not being happy in your own skin and then eating almost to forget or as a comfort, which then makes you bigger, which then makes you eat more, which makes you bigger. And it's a really, really vicious cycle.
Absolutely.
And then we come back to that point of motivation, that point, that crossroads where you make that change. And to go from, as I say, from where you are now, so from where you were to where you are now, is, you know, very rarely do I see transformations of that magnitude. And I've read up on your story, and I know you've got the assistance of a guy in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
And if you want to plug him, I don't have a problem with that. So, you know, he's obviously done a good job with you. So if you want to mention him and tell me a little bit about him, then I'm happy for you to do so.
Yeah, thanks so much, Neil. So, I mean, one of the things that I was looking for when I wanted to lose this weight, I was looking for a personal trainer. Now, I've worked with personal trainers when I was living up and working in London, and the personal trainer that I worked with wasn't right for me. And this is something that I just want to let everybody know. Like, personal trainers are just that, they are personal. And, you know, you need to find which one works for you.
Absolutely.
So I tried to find a personal trainer, and then I remember sitting there thinking, I need more. I wanted the full package. I needed to know what I could eat for me, for my lifestyle, and really nip it in the bud, my yo-yo weight. So I came across Andy Wilson, and he is founder of GoFit UK in Tunbridge Wells. In fact, if you go to his website, you can see my transformation photos and more videos of me. I think there's one of me last year, June 2016, where you can see I've got a bit of a gut and I'm laughing because he's recording me.
I think so, I've seen that picture.
You can actually see these aren't just photos that... These before and after photos haven't just been photoshopped. They're actually videos of me. Yeah, as I've been going along. Yeah. So his website is www.go-fituk.com, and his name's Andy Wilson. I'm sure he's listening right now, and he's gone bright red laughing because he does. He doesn't like the limelight, but he specialises in female transformations, and that's the biggest thing to say, Neil. And I know that's what you specialise in. It's transformation, it's the whole package, because you do need help with the physical, the emotional, and also the nutritional.
Yeah, and there are no quick fixes.
No,
you know, we live in a quick fix society where people, you know, it's taken them 20 years to put the weight on, and they want to lose the weight in 6 weeks. Now, there are diet plans out there where you can lose weight really, really quickly, but quick doesn't mean safe. And certainly for me, and from what you've been saying as well, the main priority is improving someone's health. If you improve their health and improve the way they feel, not just physically but about themselves, the weight thing tends to take care of itself. You can do it the other way and focus purely on losing weight and actually do a lot of damage to your health. And you're quite right, it's about a long-term strategy. It's not about quick fix. It's not about yo-yo dieting. It's not about, you know, losing the weight and gaining the weight and losing the weight and gaining the weight, which is what lots of people do. It's about educating people and then getting them to a point where they're happy and they know enough, they've got enough information to then carry on for the rest of their life. And for me, that's incredibly empowering and incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, I love that, Neil. And you're 100% right. You know, I didn't know how to eat as an adult, which is quite sad.
Yeah.
You know, I know how to follow diets, but to actually eat as an adult and maintain a healthy weight...
Yeah.
I didn't know.
No.
Nobody teaches you that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we live in a society of, you know, processed foods and fast foods and sugar. We've already discussed sugar on the show. And people live in ignorance. And, you know, a big part of what obviously you've gone through and that I teach people is the education. You know, if you educate people, they can make informed choices. We're all grown-ups. We all have the power of choice. But when you educate people, then they use that choice to make smart choices. If you know that there's 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of Coke and you choose to drink Coke, well, that's your choice. And if and when you become ill and perhaps you pick up diabetes, you can't say that you weren't told. But we live in a society of ignorance. And, you know, education and information is very empowering, very empowering.
Yeah, and I mean, it is very difficult. We get all these different mixed messages, you know. One moment eating one thing is good for you for breakfast, the next it's not.
It goes backwards and forwards,
isn't
it?
I know, right? And I have to hold up my hands. I was a massive sugar addict, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I probably still am, you know. I can remember how it tastes, it's more informed choices. You know, we have the choice, but I absolutely loved and always will food.
and the thing, if people manage to break the sugar cycle, they should be commended because sugar is incredibly addictive.
And as you pointed out earlier, it is in everything. I had no idea. I mean, like you mentioned about the sauces and the honey, but there's other things as well. And this is one of the ways that I dropped so quickly, because when I cut out the sugar, it just melted away. You know, actually melted, you know. I thought that my trainer had put some sort of voodoo spell on me. But it wasn't. It's in everything. And you're right, you know, we can make the formed choices. But I think lots of people don't understand, you know, like saying this contains 27 grams or this contains 4 grams. So by working with a specialist who actually understands it, then that helps you. I mean, one way that I used for me... You know, there's about 4 grams of sugar in a sugar cube.
Yeah, and in a teaspoon of sugar.
Okay, yeah. So we all know how much, you know, and how big a sugar cube is roughly.
Yep.
So I would start picking up these healthy smoothies that I used to drink. And I'd be like, okay, well, 27 grams per 250 mil. this 750 mil. How many grams is that? And I just sit there and be like, that's 30 sugar cubes. Mm-hmm. This little smoothie contains 30 sugar cubes. And I think all the blood drained from my face. I was like, well, no wonder I've got trouser size.
If you used to say to someone, would you sit down and eat 30 teaspoons of
sugar?
Then I would say 99.9% of people would say no.
Yeah,
but they would be happy to drink it. And actually, that's quite an interesting point about portion size. And when you read food labels, have a look at the serving size. And I'll give you an example: popcorn. Popcorn. It will, when you look at the ingredients, when you look at the nutritional breakdown, it actually looks okay, not too bad, okay, but it will be per serving. But what they won't tell you is that serving will be 25 grams, and 25 grams is nothing. And in a bag of popcorn, there'll be 10 servings. And of course, once someone opens that bag of popcorn, they'll probably eat the whole bag. Oh. And so food labels and nutritional information, whilst it's very valuable and absolutely you should learn how to read them, you need to understand that food companies do use it to their advantage, and they do make things look more healthy than they really are. So look at the nutritional breakdown, look at the ingredients, but most importantly the nutritional breakdown per serving, because mm-hmm. there'll be more than one serving in a packet of or a bottle of whatever. Give me a few tips, three tips that you can give to listeners that might help them start on their journey. So perhaps one that's food related, one that's lifestyle related, and one that's exercise related.
Okay, right. Well, I'm basically going to use all the tips that I was given to me by my transformation coach, because they've worked. And, you know, I lost all the weight in 10 months, mm-hmm. but that was last year in 2016. We're now 2017 and I've maintained. And this is the first time that that's ever happened to me. So in terms of the food, I'm basically, and this one always stays with me, what you eat first thing in the morning will be what you crave throughout the day, will be what your last meal is. So if you have toast, even if it's, you know, just something healthy on toast, then you will be craving those refined sugary carbs all day, and you'll probably find that your last meal will be pasta based or something similar. So I start off my day and I have eggs, so I'll have eggs and spinach, or I'll have an omelette, mushroom mm-hmm. omelette, or I will have smoked salmon and avocado.
So protein.
Yeah, proteins and lots of vegetables and good fats. And then, you know, what you feed your body first thing, what's all rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Exercise wise, get your heart rate up just for 20 minutes every day. Doesn't matter what you do, just get it up. And then in terms of your lifestyle, love yourself.
Yeah.
Give permission to love yourself and tell yourself you are worth it, because you really, really are.
Fantastic. Fantastic. A very inspirational journey. And for those of you that know Kizzy, you'll know that she is a bit of an entrepreneur. She does have her own business. And it would be quite remiss of me to not let her plug her business. So tell me very quickly a bit about Social Fireworks, your own social media business, the services you offer, and if people want to get hold of you, how they can get in touch with you, either in relation to your social media business or to perhaps have a chat to you about your weight loss journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in actual fact, there's a special event coming up in January that I've organised with a vegan restaurant in Tunbridge Wells called The Plant Base. It's on Monday the 15th of January at 9 o'clock. You can buy tickets to it at socialfireworks.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be talking about how I've utilised and how this restaurant has utilised Instagram for success. And also telling more about my weight loss story and showing some pictures. There's only 20 tickets available, so do go ahead and treat yourself to one of those. We'll be giving some tips as well to achieve a healthy lifestyle and get motivated in 2018, because it is around the corner. Mm-hmm. And in terms of my business, so Social Fireworks, I specialise in helping businesses and individuals grow their presence online, whether that through one-to-one training or looking after their presence. especially on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can follow me on Facebook through Social Fireworks, just by putting Social Fireworks into Facebook. And you can follow my whole weight loss story on Instagram. The name is @greengoddess_UK. I'd absolutely love to hear from anyone. And if you would like any tips, please just send me a message via Instagram. Have a look at my before and after photos. I look forward to hearing from you.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Kizzy. Yay. I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
No, my pleasure.
And hopefully there's people out there that are at the start of that journey and will find that your story is inspirational. And if they want to contact you, they'll get hold of you, and you can sort of motivate them as well, and having been through that journey. But I really appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Okay, so need to wrap up, actually. Was going to discuss the million calorie challenge, but I'll do that next week. And I'll show you ways in which you can save a million calories over 10 years. So to wrap up the show, just a quick reminder, my website address is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you want to get hold of me personally, if you want some advice, please feel free to give me a shout and drop me an email. The Twitter feed for the radio station, the radio show, is @HealthRadioShow. So be involved, tweet, say hello, and ask a question. If you want to listen again, if you go to my website, i-nutrition.co.uk, and if you go to the media page, you'll be able to listen again. The next show is on Monday morning at 11 o'clock, so hopefully you'll all tune in then. And as I mentioned, if you want to tweet in the meantime or ask a question, I will read out your question or your shout-out on air. And I'm also looking for guests to come along, like Kizzy this morning. If you'd like to come on the show, make contact with me via the website, and we'll look to get you on as a guest in the new year. So I need to wrap up now. So thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I will see you the same time next week, Monday at 11 o'clock. And thank you again, Kizzy, for coming on as my guest.
No, thank you, Neil. It's been a pleasure.
Heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return.